Hello, and welcome to Adventures in Regression Therapy. I'm Steve Burgess, hypnotherapist and regression specialist, and together with members of my team, we'll be introducing you to the fascinating world of past life regression. In each episode, we'll be discussing the importance of regression therapy, the range of physical, emotional, and spiritual issues it can help with, and sharing some of our clients' stories from the many thousands of regression sessions we've facilitated over the years. We hope you enjoy the ride with us as we explore the power of past life regression. Hello, Burgess here, and welcome to Adventures in Regression Therapy with my colleagues Monique Glover in Canada and Michael Hearn in Australia. We thought today we'd have a conversation about different states of trance and how that relates to the regression process, because it will give you an idea of different ways of being in trance. And there are so many misconceptions, of course, about hypnosis, what it is and what it isn't, that we thought we'd just sort of open this up as a conversation, and hopefully you'll find it interesting. So, Michael, let me ask you to start, if you will, please. What are your thoughts on sort of the way that we work in regression in trance?
I'd love to start with what you're saying about how some people have misconceptions of what trance is and the hypnosis process. And I can say, after all of my education, I also had misconceptions because of the things that I learned, even at like diploma level with hypnosis. A lot of it, the more that you do, the more you realize that we probably don't understand as much as we think. And the more we give an idea on this is what trance is, the more we're closing our eyes to the bigger picture of what altered states of consciousness are.
Yeah. I often think that we overemphasize as hypnotherapists the relaxation elements of trance. You know, everybody that we talk to, of course, it makes it easier for our clients if we say, you know, think relaxation and you're on the right track. But I have many clients who are deep in trance but not relaxed at all. So trance isn't necessarily a very relaxed state.
Absolutely. And I think particularly because, you know, on this podcast, we're talking about regression work and things like past life regression. That particularly, you know, if it was all about relaxation and going to some crystal palace somewhere for healing from some light from an angel, okay, sarcasm inserted, but, you know, that may be a lovely experience, but often with the experience that our clients can have with past life, it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know, you're releasing significant emotional events that are maybe blockages or holding you back in your current life. So, to really go through that, you have to feel it, you have to go through it. So maybe you started relaxed to get into a somnambulistic state, but you're not necessarily going to stay there. So how important is the relaxation bit? I don't know.
And we do get, I think you had a client recently, Monique, you know, we do get clients who go into stuff in a big way, where they really are hitting stuff kinesthetically and emotionally, and they're not relaxed at all.
No, even tuning into it, it's funny. I find some clients, they're just, I don't know, I don't want to use necessarily the word sensitive, but they're tuned in. They're tuned into what's happening. I think they're maybe more tuned into their subconscious than some are. And a couple of days leading up to the session, they'll already be tuning in to kind of the motions, the energies of the session. They'll come in already feeling like anxious or angry. And it's like the subconscious is already preparing ahead of time. Like, oh, exciting. We have this session booked. Let's just start the gears turning and warm it up. So often those clients come in and it's already at the surface even before they go into that trance state. But most definitely I've had clients that are very, very vocal, and it's a very, very big experience. And as we know, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the emotional release, the ones that are holding it back and are, controlling it to a certain extent, kind of guarding themselves and not letting themselves go deeply into the experience. It's harder. It's like you have to hack away versus I'm just going to surrender to the experience, surrender to the emotions, allow myself to feel what's coming up. But it can be, there can be people, you know, crying and screaming, not screaming, you know, screaming kind of makes it seem like it's this horrible process. I kind of wonder in the office I work in what my neighbors next door are thinking. The naturopathic doctors probably think, you know, what's happening there? Are they torturing this poor person? It is. People, they get angry, they cry. It's can be a very expressive experience. And that's good because they're finally letting go of things that have been under the surface for so long. And we encourage that. We encourage them to go with that. And maybe they haven't been allowed. Maybe they haven't been allowed to be angry their whole life. And this is the first time they've been given permission to feel that.
Yeah. I'm just thinking also like that's why we work in a particular way that we work in trance as well. Something that I'd always worked with and why I initially did some advanced courses with Steve, because that's how, you know, Steve, you've always worked as well. And that is that you want the client a part of the conversation. So you want the person obviously in a trance state where they can be in touch with the subtle. So, you know, perhaps from the higher self, if you want to call it that, coming through the subconscious mind, however all of that works, to be really in touch with that. But you want them to be able to communicate with you and be aware of what's happening at the same time. So not so much the idea of being under a trance that someone's put a spell on you. It's more that we're holding a space for you to curiously explore with us as to what are some of these underlying emotions. And if you're out of it, like a zombie or in a you know, that under hypnosis trance, then you're not going to be able to curiously explore. You're going to wake up afterwards and say, what happened? Did you record it? And I don't think the healing necessarily comes from that. Even though sometimes that can happen for clients, but you know, a big part of what we're doing is exploring and being able to release that emotion. So the person needs to be part of that process consciously, as well as the information and the experience coming through subconsciously, if that makes sense. So I think that's a big difference with how we work, particularly with things like past life regression, where it's not something that happens to you, it's something that happens that you experience with it.
Good point. And of course, we also, as you know, I teach very much the concept of working kinesthetically with clients who are non-visual, who actually can't see anything in the mind's eye. So many years ago, I had a client came to me with agoraphobia, fear of outside spaces. And he was actually a geography teacher at a local school. And it was playing havoc with his life. And he said the field trips, because as a geography teacher, they actually take kids out to the coast near here and go and look at rocks and see if they can find any things in the rocks. He said, I can't even get off the bus. He said, and all the kids are just taking the mickey out of me. And he said, but I'm so tense. I feel so scared. And he said, but I've already seen a hypnotherapist. Do not tell me to imagine anything. I cannot imagine anything. I can't visualize anything. She was going on about visualize this, see this, see this. He said, it's just black in here. Now, I understand that personally because I'm non-visual. So when I'm in trance, and Michael as well, it comes through in the body. So I guided him into trance. His subconscious, using the technique we use, indicated there were two past lives that were causing the agoraphobia. I asked his subconscious to take him back into the first of them. And he laid in the chair, and after a couple of minutes, he just went, then he paused and he said, Steve, what the fuck's happening? So I said, what are you sensing? He said, I can't get anything. I can't see it. I said, what are you feeling? He said, I'm feeling really tense, like there's a pressure on my chest. I'm being crushed. This went on for 40 minutes. Now, I asked his subconscious if it was a death in a past life, and it was. And as we know, a lot of past life regression is working through death experiences to release traumatic deaths. And we intuited that he was actually in a mine and the mine had collapsed and he was being crushed to death. And we spent 40 minutes doing that and then finished the session, came out of trance. He was quite shocked because, you know, this is an unusual experience. And he came back a couple of weeks later. He said, and I don't know what you've done, and clients always say that, I don't know what you've done, but the phobia is at least 70% better, at least 70% better. So we just did another session with for another hour, completely cured the phobia. So, you know, people get the wrong impression that trance is this sort of deeply relaxed state where you're seeing, as you say, lovely angelic visions, Michael. It just isn't that.
Yeah. But it can be as well. That's the problem. It comes down to, and I tell people this as well, I know exactly what I'm doing, but I have no idea what's going to happen in the session. You know, when we go into, as regression therapists, we go into a session with a toolkit and an understanding. And the better you are at it, the less you have to worry about the toolkit, and you can just be present and listen and apply whatever's needed. But we have no idea what's going to happen because it all depends so much on your experience and what's happening. I had, I think I told you earlier, I had a client that's got emphysema. And so being able to relax when you're finding it very hard to gather your breath in the first place, in my head, I was thinking, oh, how is this even going to work? But he went into it, he had an incredible experience. And part of his, I wasn't even sure if there's going to be healing for his emphysema. He's going into kind of some final stages. You know, surprisingly enough, there was so much healing that could happen. And he had a past life experience where he was a little girl underneath a house hiding, holding some chickens. And a man was following him and saw him hiding underneath as this little girl with the chickens, reached his hand in, pulled her out, and he was very angry at her, and he was actually killing her. He was throwing her onto the ground. It was quite traumatic. Sorry for those listening. And most of these stories often are. Throwing her onto the ground, and he felt a rock at the back, and his back as well. Really lots of detail. Him continually throwing her onto the ground with both his fists and just breaking her bones in her chest. And she eventually died. And he felt the experience of those bones and the cracking and everything in there. And it was so interesting how that kind of past life experience was so much like, I guess, what it would be like with something like a lung disease where you're finding it hard to breathe as well. And so there were lots of other things that happened with the healing process from his ancestors and lots of great things. I won't go into it. But, you know, that process of going through, for me, even as a therapist, I thought, oh, how are we going to go here? And then even thinking in my head, well, you know, what sort of healing can you get with lung disease anyway? But it's amazing what the higher self can do and the power of this regression work. And it's not the power of us as therapists. I don't know about the golden god, Burgess. Maybe it is. But the power of this work is the healing that comes from within for these people. And as cool as some of these past life regression stories are, the big thing about it is the healing that can come from it and how much we're holding these energies from, you know, sometimes past lives. Pretty incredible.
Yeah. It's very personal. It's very personal how people experience it. And like even these two stories, one, they're getting this narrative, all these visuals, where one is just feeling it in their body. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter that, sure, lots of the stories we share are the ones with the visuals and the narratives or the famous past lives where they come up with extraordinary details. But it doesn't have to be that way at all. Everyone is very personal. Even your belief, you know, we tell clients, your belief in past lives does not, the therapy doesn't hinge on your belief in past lives. You can believe whatever you want this experience to be. It's still going to be effective therapy. It's amazing in that way.
As long as you get better.
Exactly. You're still going to get better. It doesn't matter what you think happens. I mean, lots of people, I think it does end up provoking a lot of thoughts if it was something they never considered before, just because of the details that can be brought, the healing that comes from it. But it's very personal.
people are also surprised that, you know, people expect to be deep in trance. And this is a sort of a, something that is a misconception that, you know, I'm going to go into a regression. In fact, old-fashioned regressionists actually used to get the client as deep as possible, which is not necessary. I have clients who, within 2 minutes of them closing their eyes, are in a past life. It can be that fast. And so, there's no reason for people to be so deep and deeply relaxed and somnambulistic almost. A trance is not necessarily a deeply relaxed state. For me, I call it a focused state of relaxed inner awareness. We all know it's unique to each individual client. And, you know, some clients are deeply relaxed, some hardly relaxed at all, but their mind is more focused and it just allows the subconscious to come through very gently from the back part to the front part of the mind. And it can open out in that way. So, you know, you go back to what you said at the start, Michael. You know, clients know everything that's going on in the session. They remember it very, very clearly afterwards, sometimes for the rest of their lives. But, you know, the subconscious knows the best healing process. And our way, and the system that I always teach our therapist is let the subconscious do the work. It knows best. And all we're doing is guiding it so it does the work. But for me, you know, clients often are in just, I mean, you might mention, Michael, you had a client who was, who couldn't close their eyes. I think you've had that
before. Yeah. The client had narcolepsy. So the concern was if they get too relaxed and close their eyes, they'll fall asleep. So hypnotherapy is not going to be very valuable to them if they fall asleep and I have to keep waking them up. So yeah, I had to do it with the eyes open. And I think, the deeper the trance, I think the more comfortable the hypnotherapist, because they go, oh, this is working, that's good. And I think if you are good at your trade and you understand what you're doing, you don't need that deep trance. You just need to be able to hold the space for someone for the outside world to matter less and the more subtle inside world to be focused in. And then trust in the higher self or whatever that is, soul or whatever you want to call it, to bring through that subconscious exactly the message that's needed here. And all we're doing is holding the space. And it is an actual holding of space, because I've had people where their child has come down, they said, well, that's my kid, I need to take him to bed. In the middle of a session, deepest things happening, actually in a past life regression, and I've said, that's fine. When you come back, we'll just go straight back into it. She's gone upstairs, put her kid to bed, come back down and go, I'm so sorry about that. I'll go, that's okay. Just allow your eyes to close down. She closed her eyes and we're instantly back there.
It's often deeper, right, Michael? I find I have clients that be in the middle of a session and then once you break state and you come back, they often just go back deeper than before.
Yes, and with a relaxed meditation. You know, something happens, a phone rings or something, you're like, oh, and you hang up, you close your eyes, you're screwed. You're never anywhere near it. Just get up and do something else. You won't get back there. It's like hypnosis is different to a meditation because it is a space that's being held. And I think the depth of that trance that you feel, I don't think that's as valuable as the space being held. And if you have someone that's very comfortable withholding that space as a hypnotherapist, the depth isn't as important. It's about the nuances of, okay, where are you? Have you tuned out the outside and are you tuning into something important? So if your eyes are open or whatever, that's irrelevant. It's about knowing that's subtle. So I think that's a big difference in how we work, I think, Steve.
Good point. Okay, well, thank you for your thoughts, you too. That's been really interesting, and I hope our viewers are interested in what we have to say. So thanks for tuning in, everybody, and hope to see you again another time for another Adventures in Regression Therapy. Thanks for watching. Lots of love.
Thanks for listening to Adventures in Regression Therapy. For more information about Steve Burgess and his team, check out steveburgesshypnosis.com or connect on Facebook or Instagram. Steve's books, The Power of Past Life Regression and Famous Past Lives, are available through his website and Amazon and are available as audiobooks through Audible.
free hypnotherapy recordings are available on YouTube on Hypno for All. That's Hypno, the number 4, All.